in this situation, I cannot take sides. The violence, a bomb, no matter where it goes off. I think that there's also a question of the numbers of people who are killed, and it certainly is a lopsided situation there that the Palestinians really don't stand much of a chance on an equal, if they're trying to compete with a machine.
Oh my gosh, shut up. You know what? They shouldn't have attacked a country and murdered innocent women and children, babies. What? This was, first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you, top of the second hour. Channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's at Rumble. We're also on X. So that's Joan Baez. Don't get mad at me for the older members of my audience. I could not tell you a single song this chick is saying. All I know is that she is not one of the good hippies. She's like the commie, dirty feet and Birkenstock hippie. Isn't that correct, Kane? Are you familiar with her? Like, who sat around at MSNBC's Morning Joe and is like, you know what we need? We need one of those dirty Marxist hippies to come over. The one who sounds like she plays the guitar with her dirty Birkenstock feet. Let's have her on the show. Let's get checks notes. Joan Baez's take on this. Really? Who else can you get from, like, the days of yore? Good night. I don't even know what song she's done. Why the hell is her thoughts on what's happening with Israel defending itself relevant right now? Well, the Palestinians can't go against a machine. Israel has every right to defend itself. The elected government of the people who live in Gaza, Hamas, attacked them. Their country that they love still, Hamas, they love this representation. They were going to vote for it again. They attacked Israel. And Hamas still enjoys an over 63% approval rating in Gaza. So their government, Gazan's government, because Palestine's a fake thing, it doesn't exist. We don't pretend that the phrase an assault weapon is real, or we pretend that guys who tuck and put on lipstick are chicks. We also don't pretend that made up places like Palestine exist, or that's a real ethnicity, entity, or country. It's not supported by 2,000 years of antiquity, so stop. If you want to use Hadrian's spiteful word to describe people that he thought of as enemies and rename their land after a long ago defeated enemy that was actually based in Crete, the Philistines, then you can go right ahead. But we like to actually play in science and history here. That said, who thought, like, let's have her on? What is she? Why? They have, again, every right to defend themselves against being attacked. So where was the concern then? It's always, oh, well, now we got to feel sorry for the people that are getting their butts kicked. Because they decided to try to they carried out an act of genocide against Israel. It was an act of war. Good grief. Joan Baez. What, name me a song she's done, Kane.
She's been out there since the 60s.
I don't know anything she's done.
I know that she did a lot of covers.
Oh, she did she?
Yeah, she did. Aww. That much I know.
No, she did some covers. So she's basically a cover artist, no better than a cover artist that's like playing at a Houlihan's. Steve goes, who cares what Ja Rule thinks about 9/11? Yeah, right? It's like getting Ja Rule. Ja, what do you think about all this? You and Joan. Let's get Joan Baez, Ja Rule. Who else can we get to fill out our trifecta of talking heads on MSNBC? Like, who is that? Just a Morning Joe thing? Isn't he he's like one of the bad boomers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some good boomers because they helped raise Gen X. But we're talking, and I don't want to get hate mail from you people. We're specifically talking about the dirty Marxist hippies. So who sits around and is like, let's bring this old relic up. Let's go dust her off from the Museum of DGAF.
I think he and Mika think they're Gen X.
Shut up. No, they don't.
I think they do.
Shut up. They're like 60 and 70 years old. Isn't he like 70?
Morning Joe?
Yeah, he's like older than dirt, isn't he?
I'll have to look that up.
I don't know.
He's 61.
Oh, see, I was, no offense, guys, but he's old, and he's mean. The fact that he's mean and not cool makes it worse, right? He's like, I'm going to tie the sweater around my shoulders kind of D-bag. That's that guy. And they got, every time I talk about him, because they used to obsessively watch everything I said, and they would freak out on their show every morning if I ever spoke about them. So, you know, just sign this with a kiss. So anyway.
Well, it looks like if Gen X is 1962.
Shut up, I'm not even hearing this. No, you know what? Let me tell you something, sir, gatekeeper. you act like that you're the gatekeeper for Gen X and you're trying to shove me out so you can get this boomer in?
I'm just
Hail, H-A-I-L, no. We'll fight right now in this segment. We'll throw down.
I'm just looking at what the internet is saying about the dates.
Now, tinfoil, you're going to look at the internet?
No, I'm just saying this is what
I'm not even dealing with you right now. You're grounded.
I'm just saying,
not even dealing with you.
It's possible they both think.
They can think it,
right.
But it doesn't mean it's real any more than the guy who's like, it's ma'am, is a woman, right? How do you do, fellow kids? So this story about the exploding everything, it gets better because they had the second wave yesterday. So first it was the pagers, you know, from the liver to the knee, as the meme says. This is so great. From the liver to the knee. So apparently there was yet another wave where they had walkie-talkies exploding. And now the people in Hezbollah are freaking out. They're like, what else is going to blow up? Oh, my gosh. They have no idea. So the walkie-talkies exploded, all kinds of stuff. They've been so it's been so zeroed in. It's kind of wild. The New York Times reported that the first series, the pagers were secretly packed with explosives. Now, you might be going, well, how did this happen? Remember, we talked yesterday about Israel had to have probably intercepted something, you know, or maybe they had, and I was speculating because the story hadn't even come out yet. I was speculating, well, maybe they, I don't know, they got in there and, you know, had a shell company and they were a vendor or something and they packed this stuff with explosives because one of the reports was that, and I included this in your prep if you get the newsletter over at Substack. One of the reports had said that that Hezbollah got a new vendor, like at the last minute. How dumb is that? That they got a new vendor and that they were made in Taiwan. Oh boy, it gets even better and better. So apparently, check this out. There was a Hungarian company that produced explodable pagers for Lebanon that generated a revenue of like over almost $1 million with one employee. And it was a company that was registered in Hungary in 2022. The company Back Consulting KFT is at the center of a controversy. Well, if you had literally created a company, they built a fake company to manufacture these pagers themselves. If you had that on your bingo card, well, you get to fill that space because that's exactly what they did. I am so here for this. I am so unbelievably here for this. So that's what they did. They created this fake company specifically for this purpose. It is quite wild. And so they said it's BAC Consulting. It was a Hungary-based company that was under contract to produce the devices on behalf of a Taiwanese company, Gold Apollo. But it was all an Israeli front, apparently. They said at least two other shell companies were created to mask the real identities of the people creating the pagers, Israeli intelligence officers. This, I think, was New York Times. BAC did take on ordinary clients, and it produced a range of ordinary pagers. But the only client that mattered was Hezbollah, and its pagers, produced separately, contained batteries laced with the explosive PETN, according to three intelligence officers. They began shipping to Lebanon in the summer of 22 in small numbers, and then the production ramped up after Nasrallah denounced cell phones. And some of the head of Hezbollah's fears were that, spurred by reports from allies, that Israel had acquired new means to hack into phones and activating microphones and cameras to spy on the owners. And so three intelligence officials said Israel invested millions into developing the tech. Word spread among Hezbollah that no cell phone communication, even encrypted messaging apps, were safe anymore. So they all got pagers and walkie-talkies and got blowed up. Just saying. Now, I think that that's done a couple of things. First off, there was the appearance of reputational harm in terms of how hardcore Israel could go in the wake of October 7th. And the idea of Israel setting these pagers up and doing this reclaims that. And how they rigged them up and yes, maybe Hezbollah messed up because they should not have gotten like an unvetted new vendor. But the problem is that Israel, I think, was hurt on the appearance of defense and their ability to go on offense after October 7th. And that has a value when you consider deterrence, right? You're not going to attack an opponent that is hardcore and will just murk you off this rock. There's less of a deterrent if they take that kind of hit. And so that is what I think Israel has reclaimed with us, because now Hezbollah has been knocked back and they have no idea where the next wave is going to come from. They have no idea what's going to happen next. They're just freaking out. And they also, they keep saying, well, we're going to escalate. Israel's inching towards war. But Hezbollah has been doing this to Israel. Israel's just finally had enough and they're defending themselves. So Hezbollah doesn't want to take it one further because they have no idea where this is going to come from. They have no idea. I mean, I think that Israel reclaimed the credibility for deterrence after October 7th, because they looked wounded after that. And now they can even track the data. I was reading this one piece on all the pagers, if they modified like the code used and all this stuff. And they don't even know like what other things that they've modified or what other companies they may or may not have to produce stuff. Nobody knows. It's actually kind of smart. So here's the big question. What happens if, think about how many phones we all have. I'm not at all even remotely saying that Israel will do this. I'm saying that bad actors would copy this. Is that a concern? Should it be a concern? You really got it. This is why a chain of command for these, or chain of custody for this stuff, is incredibly important. Like the production of our phones, right? You got a whole bunch of new iPhones coming out there. Every couple of years, y'all got new phones, Samsung, iPhone, all kinds of stuff. Y'all got the smartwatches. Y'all got all kinds of stuff with lithium batteries in it. Although these apparently were modified to include some explosives. Still, you got to think. Could that be, what if you have terror cells in the U.S. and they just want to blow stuff up? And they could, I'm just asking a question. That's why the chain of custody for product like that is incredibly important. Supply chains are incredibly important. Interesting thing to think about. Goodness. Also, let's see. We were talking about what the Fed did. We got to get into this thing. I want to, coming up, because we got Carol Roth on to talk about the 50 basis points and the Federal Reserve and all of that. We've got to debunk, and I mentioned this in the newsletter that I sent out this morning that has all the radio prep on it. This horrible woman, or horrible story from Democrats about a woman who she passed away after she had taken abortion pills. And Democrats are trying to say, well, she passed away because she couldn't get an abortion. That's not what happened. And we're going to set that record straight coming up, because they're trying to make this a big deal in these battleground states. So we have a lot to hit as we move towards headlines. Our partners over at ReadyWise, speaking of chain of custody for stuff, you know where your food is coming from where it concerns ReadyWise. And I always think it's really important for things like survival food, right? I mean, heaven forbid something goes sideways, whether it's a natural disaster or otherwise, maybe you have a power outage, whatever it is. Having emergency food that your family can rely on is incredibly important. And it gives you confidence and you get security knowing you've got essentials on hand to keep your family fed. And you don't have to worry about where your meals come from. You don't have to fight at the stores where the shelves are stripped or any of that stuff. With ReadyWise, they have all kinds of deals right now, and they have premium survival food made with 100% U.S. ingredients, and it's packed in a U.S. plant and shipped out from a U.S. plant. So you know the chain of custody for all your stuff. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water with a 25-year shelf life. They have a buy one, get one 72-hour food kit that includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And they also have fast and free shipping. And promo code DANA20 at checkout gets you 20% off of any regularly priced item. So visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20.
They allow IRS agents to go after you even though they don't pay their taxes? The IRS agents auditing you owe a lot in back taxes. 6,000 IRS workers owe a total of $50 million.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I feel like this is how plagues start. So these researchers, archaeologists, they found a 3,000-year-old sword that had the pharaoh's mark on it in Egypt. 3,000 years ago, a team of archaeologists, they were digging up an ancient fort, and they spotted a bronze blade in the Nile Delta, and they claimed it, and they said it had the intricacies of the ornamental cartouche, the personal emblem used by the pharaohs, still visible. It had not lost its reflective shine. And they said that they're going to put it in the museum, but good night. I just feel like, isn't that how the mummy comes back and all that stuff? Like they found, like they pulled the, I'm just saying. It's very pretty, but this is where I'd be totally creeped out as an archaeologist. Because I read all that stuff about the guy who, the family that owns the house where Downton Abbey's filmed. That's the family that did like the King Tut stuff, and they said it was the Pharaoh's curse and all this that play. It's fascinating. You should read about it. And everyone's like, thanks, Dana. Radio, our history is now terrifying. We're so happy. Let's see. This Supreme Court, we're going to talk about this coming up. An Alaska man was charged with threatening to assassinate six Supreme Court justices. Which ones? All the conservative ones. It was only the conservative justices. And he has been accused, a 76-year-old guy, has sent over 465 messages to them through the online portal, according to court filings. He's threatened to kill them, torture them, hang them, behead them, execute them, assassinate, all kinds of stuff, and encouraged other people to join him in committing acts of violence. So, and it's all, he didn't like their decisions. That's what he said. He disliked their decisions, and they're all the conservative ones. We're going to come back to that. Starlink says the government is increasingly interfering with astronomy. That dang private sector. How dare they do that? That's ultimately what I think it comes down to. Don't you think it's a way for them to try to ding a private entity? I think so. EasyJet flight mayhem. A bag of vapes. I thought this said vipers at first, and I was like, ooh, snakes on a plane. No, it's boring. A bag of vapes exploded on a London-bound flight. An evacuating passenger injured themselves on the evacuation slide. I mean, it's a slide. How you go down it. I didn't even know how that happens, but, you know, it did. And passports now can be renewed online in the United States, according to the State Department. U.S. passports can now be renewed online, adult ones. They're rolling out a system bypassing the traditional method that requires printing out a form and mailing a check. Our partners for this portion, the non-firearm firearm, the Bernagun, and that's exactly what it is. It's a non-firearm firearm. It actually can shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. It's a very powerful deterrent, and it's great to diversify what you have in terms of self-defense. I always will carry. I have zero issue with telling someone that lethal force to protect yourself and your loved ones. I mean, that's the point of self-defense. There are times when you're barred from carrying, and I would love to live in the kitten and sunshine world where I never have to go to a gun-free zone, but I'm a grown woman, and I have to do grown woman stuff like work and pay bills and go to places sometimes where guns are banned. I don't want to be a statistic because someone else lives in the fairy tale of that gun-free zones work. So this is where Byrna comes in. The Byrna gun, again, it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check. There's no waiting period. They ship it right to your door. And I know a lot of my friends that also have gotten this as another option for self-defense, especially when they have to go in some of these areas where they're barred from carrying their actual firearm. You can check out all the models that they have. The Byrna SD is the most popular selling option that they have. They have many others. They also have different accessories, projectiles. And from November 29th till December 2nd, rather, you can get 15% off site-wide on all Byrna products. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 15% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 15% off. Gen X saved America. Gen X saved America. And I'm just so happy that the latchkey kids raised on hose water saved America. Woot, woot. And it is so true. We were talking about this on break because Kane's like, well, what audio, like, what are we, how are we going to, because there's so much to get into. And I'm like, no, we need to spike this football for a minute. Because Gen X is ignored. Gen X is put down. Gen X is ridiculed. And look what happened last night. Gen X took the election. If you break it down by age, Gen X absolutely delivered the White House. Let's break it down for a moment. Phil Klein was the first to spot this, and then you can go and you can look at the national averages. So when you look at the age brackets, 18 to 29 of the people who, I mean, when you look at the number of people who voted, how they voted, 18 to 29, 55% were blue, 30 to 44, 51% blue, When you look at 65 or older, 50% blue, 45 to 64, 53% red. And I loved this one reporter goes, this is fascinating. Any hot takes on why Gen X decided the election? Really? Would you like, how do you want to answer that question? How do you want us to answer? Because we got, they wouldn't leave us alone. That's why. They wouldn't leave us alone. I mean, that's exactly why. Gen X, and I'm at the literal, yes, I know, it's still my generation. I'm at the very end of it, but it was the, wasn't Gen X like the first like divorce generation? Like the split home generation, et cetera. That's what it feels like. Yeah. I think so. Like latchkey kids, all that stuff.
Yeah, the first generation of both parents.
This is what, I saw this, went around on social media and I can't, there's nothing that is so, that is more true than this. It's a viral post and it said, I don't mess around with anyone over 42. They're built different. Their families had them formally trained in something by the time they were two. They had keys to the house by age five. They could cook full meals at age seven, and they were pretty much self-sufficient at age nine. They left their house at dawn every summer morning, and they didn't come back until nightfall. And they survived all day on water from garden hoses. They might get a sandwich on the off chance that somebody's parents had gone shopping. They spent three quarters of their lives by themselves with a parent maybe checking in on them twice a month. Most of them have evaded at least one kidnapping attempt, and they know 15 different ways to remove bloodstains from clothing. They're the real boop around and find out people. That's true. That is true. Gen X used to, I mean, Reality Bites was a movie that was supposed to parody Gen X. It was a movie that made fun of Gen X. Like before millennials were the victim, were the victims and were picked on by every generation. It was Gen X. Gen X was picked on. Gen X was ignored by some boomers. I love you. I'm related to y'all. Okay. So please do not internalize this and take it personally and deny me my commentary. Roll with it. Cause some of y'all were mean to some of us. Okay. Not you, but some of y'all in that generation, and they were mean to you too. But Gen X was raised by boomers. And then we started seeing divorce rates climb. And I mean, there's a lot that can be said for that. Gen X were kind of the ignored generation. Everybody skipped over Gen X and they went from boomers to millennials. And then from millennials to Z. And now it's alpha. And then Gen Z is mad because they feel like they haven't had enough time in the sun. Gen X never had time in the sun. Gen X was ignored. Gen X is, and that's the running joke, right? We want to be ignored. We want to be left alone. And it was the weird generation, the aspect of my generation particularly, because I had email when I was a senior in high school. It was weird, right? Like we had Wi-Fi, or not Wi-Fi, we had high-speed internet. We get DSL, right? Remember that, Kane? DSL. Man, if you got DSL in your neighborhood, you were big pimping. What? DSL. But we grew up without it. Like we didn't have it like in the late 80s and 90s. We didn't have it. So it's a really interesting, it's a very interesting generation. But they also are the ones that don't get offended. Gen X don't get offended. They just kind of shrug their shoulders and they go on with their lives. I mean, Gen X had their own issues, but Gen X were adaptable and they're resilient. And they knew how to have fun and they were irreverent that's Gen X. So I'm not surprised that finally everybody pissed off Gen X enough where they were just like, okay, that's it. You want it? Fine. We're voting now. And they showed up and they made the red wave happen. So maybe everyone will stop ignoring Gen X. Everyone goes from boomers to millennials and I don't know what's worse. Maybe stop ignoring Gen X because Gen X is going to save America. Gen X just saved America. There was an amazing thing to see. You know, a couple of other things that I was looking at because Gen X absolutely did deliver when you look at the demo. And I think that a lot of it, apparently Gen X dominates X or Twitter. Did you know that? There's some analytics coming out about that showing that Gen X is really dominating that. And politically, that was a huge driver. I just felt Elon Musk's smugness all the way here in Dallas from Starbase. And rightfully so. That's pretty amazing. There's a lot of very interesting little notes here. The other thing that I wanted to point out too, because we're going to get into the left's reaction. It's not only Trump that won last night. And it's not only Republicans that won the Senate, and Republicans, I think, which will win the House. And it's not just Republicans that won against DEI. It's, you know, it's like it's people like Elon Musk that won last night. It's the thinkers that won last night. It's the doers that won last night. It's the dudes who won last night. And it's not just Gen X that won last night. Common sense people won last night. People who were wrongly jailed over J6 won last night. You know, people like Clarence Thomas won last night. The Brett Kavanaughs won last night. The Alitos won last night. Gun owners won last night. Pushback against the matriarchy won last night. Pushback against DEI won last night. All of that. People were tired of it. They were tired of it. They were tired of being pushed around. They were tired of being taken for granted. They were tired of being told that, oh, you were racist? Blank you. We're Hitler? Blank you. That was the message last night. It wasn't just a mandate. It was a middle finger to all of the people who have impugned the character of millions of innocent Americans all around this country. Those are the people. That's the message that was sent last night. You want to say that we're Nazis because we don't want dudes in our girls' bathrooms? Blank you. You want to say that we're racist because we expect people running for elected office to just demonstrate just the bare minimum of common sense and intelligence? Blank you. We're sexist because we think that, you know, you should know enough about your biology and body and how babies are made that you don't need to have an abortion all the way the hell up to the moment of birth funded by the taxpayer and used as a form of recreational birth control? Blank you. You want to call us battered women? Because we do the most feminist thing ever, which is to exercise our free will and vote for whomever the hell we want to vote for? Blank you. You want to say that we're terrorists because we speak up in our kids' school boards, our school board meetings, and we speak out in defense of our children in the classroom? Blank you. And you think we're bigots because we want to protect our girls in sports so that they're not shoved to the sidelines by dudes who are pretending to be chicks? And we're the bigots for that? Blank you. That was the message that was sent last night. It wasn't just a mandate. It was a billy club. It's the difference between the right and the left. The left pisses itself and they go out and burn down buildings. They burn up black neighborhoods. They call people racist and misogynist and sexist and ist and blah, blah, everything else. I mean, golly, the record just keeps going. One thing they don't do is vote, because they didn't turn up last night. So while they were all out there strategizing, how are we going to riot? What are we going to do? Let's board everything up and then blame it on the right. There was a red wave that drowned y'all. Voters spoke up. And their former allies who were tired of this nonsense spoke up. That's what happened last night. I'll tell you this too. Republicans, I want you to celebrate and I want you to spike the football. In fact, I want everybody who worked to make this happen to spike the football. Because the right doesn't do that enough. And it needs to be done because people need to see the wins. This is one of the worst characteristics of the right, is that you don't spike the football. They think, oh, it's in bad taste, it's gauche. Oh, we can't spike the football. That's just bad sportsmanship. Blank you. That's the other message I was sent last night. No, spike the football. And spike it repeatedly. Just keep spiking it. Spike that football and take that win. Because you earned it. And I'll add this. Republicans, you were given a mandate. And by God, you better use it. Because the hard part, half of it's over. This, all these people pushed y'all into office. But now we want what is owed to us. We want actual representation. All gas, no brakes. Slash spending. Reduce the size and the scope of government. Close that damn border. Mandate voter ID. Protect our kids in schools. Eliminate the income tax. But you got to do it fast. As I talked about yesterday with Glenn Reynolds, you have to do it fast. Do not give these bureaucratic slugs 1 second to organize to counter you. Yeah, they're going to try to sandbag you. So? Yeah, they're going to try to litigate it. So? Yeah, they're going to try to stop it. So? Yeah, they're going to talk smack to the press. So? So what? Like Auntie Nowhere League said. So what? Let them do it. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for us. You're doing it for the majority of Americans, not plurality that voted for you. The people who got tired of seeing all this stuff, who wanted something different, who voted for you, and they invested in you. Their one vote. They invested their authority in you. My college kid drove for hours to come and invest the authority of his vote in you. People flew back home. They took off work. They did whatever they had to do to invest the authority of their vote in you. And you better deliver. Do not betray the voter. There is no excuse. There's none of this, well, we don't have enough numbers. Do it. Oh, we don't have enough. Nope, do it. Oh, I don't know. We got to wait. Nope, do it. Get it done. No excuses. Ball up and get it done. I don't want to hear a single damn excuse from a single Republican. So help me. Get it done. This is the deal. That's the deal made with the vote. And deliver, you will. You have 4 years. You don't got a lot of time. Get it done. Do not betray the vote we invested in you. So coming up, we're going to talk about the Senate. What does this mean going forward? The state of the House. And I know you've been waiting for it. The media reaction. It's delicious. Salty. It's so wonderful. We're going to get into all of that and more.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I can't believe Trump's actually going to win this day. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm so pissed off.
Oh, no. Put him away. Oh, no. Oh, put him away. Oh, my eyes. My eyes. I need eye bleach. Oh, my gosh. I can't do it. Nobody wants to see man boobies like that. They look sad. They were all sad. That was horrible. I just, you know, that's why the bro was invented, man, you know? The bro. It's a bro, dude. Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know what I just saw. It was horrible. We got more of that. There's a ton of this. They're losing their minds, and I cannot wait to show all of it. We're gonna look at some of the media reaction. It's delicious. And okay, I know yesterday I said I wasn't going to enjoy the Schadenfreude that much. This is going to surprise you, but I lied. So we got a lot coming up. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the Senate, what the Senate looks like, what we can expect, the state of the House, and a lot more. So you don't want to miss a single bit. It's the day after the election. We're all a little tired because they wouldn't call the blue wall until like 3 a.m. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Any population will have very small subsets of folks that don't follow the rules, and we hold those folks accountable. We actually know historically it's always true that we have lower levels of crime around migrants than we do among our general population. So that is, there's a risk of misperception somehow this population is more dangerous, causing more trouble. That's just factually not true. But we are aware of it. We have overt and covert operations going every day to intervene, and where we know there are risks, we're going to be aggressive about making arrests, about pressing charges, and if needing, deporting folks. But I think the much bigger risk is that you'll have a perception that all of the newcomers in the city are dangerous, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
So more like people on the left trying to dismiss the very real danger that has been posed by people who enter the country illegally and have been running mad through and like for the story that we had just last week, several apartment buildings taken over by people coming in from a Venezuelan gang and taking over these apartment buildings in Aurora, which is a suburb of Denver. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of the second hour now. And you can listen. Obviously, you're listening. We're also on Channel 347 and DirecTV. You can find us on Rumble where the discussion happens. And you can also find us over at X, too, as well. You know, the language frustrates me. This whole saying migrants and all of this. I made note for, you know, some of the folks who helped put together videos for our social team. Because on Facebook, there'll be a post that goes up and it will say, you know, migrant, whatever. And I've made note, you know, back channel. I'm like, I don't talk like this. I say the actual legal term, which is illegal alien or legal immigrant. That's an actual legitimate legal term. But do you know that if I put that up on Facebook, I get a strike? If it's in any of my videos on Facebook, I get a strike. So when you see that up there, we can't, they will literally like hide it. Or they'll take it down, or they will threaten to suspend my account. It is crazy. It is crazy. The language police on this. But it's more than language, which goes to show you that it never just stops with language. They want to rewrite the actual perception. I mean, you have a real situation with crime here. People coming in illegally into the country. You have no idea where they're coming from. You have no idea what kind of record they have. The sad thing is that the communities that are most affected are the very communities the left always pays this lip service to and pretends to care about. Minority communities or Hispanic communities. It is at some point, maybe some in the media will catch on to this. But this law and order issue, so 75%, let me pull this up, because we're going to come back to the Colorado thing. Just case in point. Police in New York, in Manhattan, are estimating that up to 75% of crimes in Manhattan are committed by illegal immigrants. And, I mean, we've seen this as New York Post. They're saying that the flood of illegal immigrants into the justice system, quote, 75% arrests in Midtown. It's been described as pathetic. And the sanctuary city laws that they have there make it impossible for police to actually do anything about the crime. They talked about, they start from people who do petty crimes to people who actually are involved in violent crimes. Jefferson Maldonado, 31-year-old illegal immigrant from Ecuador, was arrested in New York City 5 times alone since arriving earlier this year. He's stolen from a number of different places. And when he was asked, why are you stealing, you know, clothes and all this stuff? He's like, oh, because I wanted to change. I mean, he's a young dude. This guy's like 31 years old, comes in illegally. And they finally brought him in for arraignment. And they said that the criminal justice system in New York, the amount of people coming in illegally, and that when they are detained and they're brought in, the number of these illegal aliens for these arraignments, they said it's at a higher rate than public officials have acknowledged. They say that police say it's as many as 75% of the people that they've been arresting for assault, robbery, domestic violence are people who are in the country illegally. They said in parts of Queens, the figure is over 60%. On any given day, per the Post, the Manhattan criminal court dockets are packed with quote unquote asylum seekers, which that's not a real thing, who've run afoul of the law. that's a asylum seeker. They're not seeking asylum. They're not, they just came here illegally and they're just saying that they are. And of course, the sanctuary city laws in New York, cops cannot work with ICE. That makes it incredibly difficult. And here's the thing, if they work with ICE, I was talking to a friend whose husband was in the force in Manhattan, and they've since moved. They're outside of Austin, and they've moved since then. And they were saying that they're one of the people who left New York. They didn't go to Florida, though. They came to Texas. And they were saying that you can actually be suspended if you are found, you know, collaborating or cooperating or working with ICE when you're not supposed to in Manhattan. It is the craziest thing. And so they can't do this where they believe that suspects are in the country illegally. They're not allowed to do this. NYPD says they're barred even from tracking the immigration status of offenders. So even if it's a repeat offender, it doesn't matter. They're not even allowed to track the status of these people. That's an issue of gathering data for crime. That's a major issue, and they're blocked from doing it. This is audio soundbite 29. This cop told a citizen who is reporting a crime committed by someone who entered illegally. Listen to what the cop says here. Audio soundbite 29.
We'll grab his information and see what we can do. But you know, like I said,
can you please collect the information?
He said that he's already illegal. He already said that he went to.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. First off, we're a sanctuary city. Even if he is legal here, we cannot call ICE.
Okay, but you still have to report that, right?
No, we don't. Because it's a sanctuary city. We do not report illegal, undocumented.
So you're going to let a person who went to prison, he committed a crime in America, who's illegal right now, you're going to let him go free right now to this elevator?
That's exactly what I'm saying, because we're a sanctuary city. I've arrested a double homicide suspect in this city before and let him walk out the door because we're a sanctuary city. We're not going to call ICE to come pick him up and deport him.
He came to pick up $320,000 from your team or mine, grandmother and grandfather, and he's walking away freely right now, right? That's
that,
what
sir.
I'm understanding right now.
I understand that, but you're asking me to call ICE or the...
I'm not asking you to call ICE. We're just asking
no,
you to take
I'm
seriously
just,
that
I'm
he's
just,
trying to repeat offend when he's already illegal.
He flew
repeating
from
what
New
he's
York.
Already been doing.
He said, I'm in Chinatown in New York. They pay for his...
That's amazing. You know, the citizen who himself is a legal immigrant is reporting a crime, and the cop is brushing off the concerns of the legal citizen, the citizen who came here and legally immigrated to the US of A, brushing away that citizen's concerns. No, I mean, he's like, yeah, we got to let this guy walk out of the door. We're a sanctuary city. And the guy was a double homicide suspect. That's crazy. This is taxation without representation. You're paying taxes for protection that you're being denied. And people who do not pay taxes are being protected. We went to war for less. I'm just pointing this out. We had conflict for less than this. How is that a return on the investment of your tax dollars? I don't know why we pay taxes. I don't know why people in New York pay taxes. It's exactly that. Can you imagine? You come to the United States for a better way of life, and then you see people trying to bring the bad way of life to your new country. And the police are like, well, we can't do anything because, you know, we can't do anything. The sanctuary city laws, they make it to where we can't stop these people. And it doesn't help to touch back on Colorado when you have the lawmakers who are just rolling their eyes and dismissing these very serious issues, like Jared Polis out of Colorado. He's gaslighting. He was spending the weekend gaslighting on this, the Venezuelan takeover, the gang takeover of these apartment buildings in Aurora. They're like, oh, well, they wouldn't acknowledge it was an organized crime effort. And on Wednesday, Polis's office flat out denied that it happened. They actually denied that it happened, even though there's video of it. And numerous reports from people who live there. He dismissed it, calling it, quote, imagination. You have video footage. You have police reports. You even have the mayor of the city of Aurora, Colorado, who says that it's happening. You had Aurora City Councilwoman Danielle Jurinski, who told the New York Post that the gang's takeovers are tied to his policies because, you know, sanctuary city. So Polis, as a way to get hit out at the councilwoman, said, quote, "It is a feature of Danielle Jurinski's imagination," end quote. So the Colorado governor, Democrat governor, the video of the actual Venezuelan gangs, numerous video clips, by the way, numerous different video taken, the reports of residents of several apartment complexes, the police who responded and couldn't do anything, they were all told that they were nothing more than this councilwoman's imagination. And they added, well, it's illegal to take over buildings in Colorado, like a snarky response from the governor's office. That is insane. Fox Denver had footage. I mean, these are media outlets. And don't think because I said Fox Denver that it's like conservative Fox Network. It's owned by the Fox Corporation, but it's not Fox News. And they're not always conservative in every local town, in every town. They had video footage. Numerous media outlets had different video, had different footage. And it shows all, like one of them, the one that I'm looking at that the New York Post had three guys carrying handguns. Another guy had a rifle and they went into one apartment complex. They broke into the unit. And the mayor, Mike Kaufman, was saying that there are several buildings that have been taken over by these gangs. And he said that the buildings were used as taxpayer funded housing for illegal immigrants. And that's how the gangs got a foothold. And so they started going door to door and taking over this stuff, robbing people, all of this. And but the governor's like, no, that's not happening. It's part of Danielle Jurinski, the councilwoman in Aurora, who talked about it. That's her imagination. Imagine living in that area and you're a citizen and you're worried about Venezuelan gangs that have been invited by your governor to come in and now they're taking over apartment complexes. Would you feel protected? Why do people keep voting for these people? Why do they vote for Democrat? I don't understand this whole point. I get if you think, you know, voting Republican is square or whatever. I don't care whatever stupid petty reason there is. Why would you vote for this? Because that's what the consent of the vote does.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, here, let's see. We've been discussing, everything froze. So we've been discussing this whole situation with the Sanctuary City stuff. We're going to come back to that. This stranded NASA astronauts have contacted Houston to report strange noises. Okay, so I've been reading the story. We talked about and following this story. We've discussed these astronauts that have been stuck on ISS for a significant amount of time. And they have no idea how they're going to get down. They were supposed to come down on that Boeing Starliner, and that's not happening. So now Elon Musk, SpaceX, is partnering with them. And they apparently had some issues aboard the ISS. And so they said it had to do with they were trying to figure out how to do something was not performing correctly on the station. And they said it sounded like a sonar ping, and they were trying to figure out what it was. But that was one of the latest things. It's turning into a horror film. Like, they're hearing these weird noises and all of this other stuff. These stranded astronauts up there, they are slated to not come back until February of next year. It was supposed to be an 8-day trip. And they've been up there for months.
The space version of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Or that there's a series, Noomi Rapace is in it. It's a really good series. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a space series. It's very similar to this. Sky News says mobile phone usage does not increase brain cancer risk. This is new research. New research into brain cancer from use of mobile phone. They're saying, no, there's not. There's 63 studies now, and there's no link between the usage and this.
So it's the vax, then?
I mean, I'm not saying it's a shot, but, you know, just saying it might be. Boar's head deli meat. Do you eat boar's head deli meat? I don't eat processed meat. There's a lot of processed meat. This is really gross. Boar's head deli meat, apparently they have listeria fears. There's been warnings issued about the Boar's Head meat products. Mold, roaches, and blood have been found in their deli meat. And it's this plant linked to a deadly listeria outbreak. Seattle-based food safety attorney says that the disease has an incubation period of 2 months, et cetera, et cetera. Boar's Head began recalling meats back in July. It expanded the list again in early August. Now, the Virginia plant, they did apparently a survey. It is crawling with bugs and mold and mildew. I am going to be sick on air because, oh, no. It makes your mouth feel weird. It's not good. So maybe don't eat it. California lawmakers are approving legislation to ban deepfakes and regulate AI. Well, government wants to control it, so it's not so much about protecting workers. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Support our young ladies and not allow any boys in their locker rooms or on their sports team.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor, as Trustee Green has stated. Do we have a second? And do you want, just to clarify again, for, I know for Ms. Pierce wanted to make sure the motion.
That we support our young ladies and not allow boys, that's young men that have a that have DNA that is boy DNA, not be allowed in the locker rooms or on the sports team competing against young ladies.
So that's the motion. And do we have a second for that motion? So there's no second. We'll go ahead and die. All right, we're moving on to our last speaker.
So that's McKinney ISD. That's McKinney School in Texas, where they had the school board. They introduced a motion that was not seconded to keep boys from going into girls' sports and keep them from going into girls' locker rooms. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I'm telling you, you need to take your kids out of McKinney ISD if they are in it. Because to have something like that happen and the silence. I mean, did you hear? Seconded. Nobody even wanted to second it. Why is that such a big issue? And when you consider, too, some of these boys in high school, they might be 18, where you'll have a 14-year-old girl there. I mean, let's talk about some of the statutory implications of that. I mean, there's no interest in protecting our kids. There's none. I'm looking for pulling this up. This school sent a letter to the parents in response of the school board meeting, right? Via Sarah Fields, they write, McKinney ISD parents and guardians, they said they were talking about this school board meeting, which was just 2 days ago. They said, Trustee Chad Green proposed a motion to support our young ladies and not allow boys who have boy DNA not be allowed in locker rooms or on the sports teams competing against young ladies. They said it didn't receive a second because, you know, the guidelines and, you know, McKinney ISD female students are already protected. To take further action would have violated the law. Passing a frivolous and meaningless motion was unnecessary because protections are already in place. Not really. And first off, the concern that they put up is not necessarily true. That's what they've all been saying as a way to sidestep the issue, silence parents, etc. And there's the block that's on when they talk about the protections that the Title IX stuff, the block on those changes that Biden made is a temporary one. So when they cite protections, it is a temporary protection. This is still ongoing. So it's not meaningless to say that. Schools can and need to have their own protections in place, because what happens if, you know, Biden's, what happens if this is allowed to go through? You know, I mean, what is it? If it's allowed to go through, if what Biden had pushed for in, remember, he wanted to go after any kind of federal funding for any kind of educational institution that did not allow for boys to go on girls' teams and be in the locker rooms and all that stuff. And Texas was litigating this, et cetera. And by the way, these are multiple schools that are allowing this. I mean, this school is not the only one. There are several that are like this. And they said that, you know, the law as it is, you know, they can't, You can't force a school to adopt such a thing, but the schools can choose to do so unless the parents oppose it. The federal government under this administration has been trying to coerce schools into doing this by dangling as the carrot federal funding. So when the title that Biden had instituted for this that was temporarily blocked, and again, that's a temporary block, this can still happen. This isn't a done deal. And so the letter that the school sent out is not entirely honest, as you would imagine, right? And that's in McKinney. Kane, you know where McKinney is? It's in Texas.
It's right near here, actually.
McKinney. It's time to pull your kids out of this. It is. It's time. It's time to pull your kids out of this stuff, out of these schools if they're doing this. That our tax dollars forcibly go to the stuff that facilitate predatory behavior against women and girls is just wild. There are a couple of parents that told me that they had just moved out of that area, and they can say that, you know, they've noticed like a lot of people who have fled California, and they are bringing a lot of that momentum with them there. The McKinney, Prosper, Frisco area. And I don't think it was. Someone asked if it was grandstanding to get a viral video. I really don't think it was. Again, it's a temporary block, i.e. it is a temporary protection. So unless schools do something individually to protect students, if that is allowed to stand, then there isn't going to be any protections for these students. Now that kids are going back to school, all of this stuff now is coming back up to light. It's all like the protests and everything else. And because it's an election cycle, I don't think it's a fun time to be a student on campus. Do you, Kane? I really don't think it is.
No, not a sane one.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just not fun. It's not fun to be a kid like this on campus, I don't think. I feel bad for a lot of students. Like, for instance, this Colorado school district, this is from Daily Caller. Now everybody's going back to school. They're not going to allow students to opt out of alphabet lessons, LGBTQ+, regardless of parents' wishes. A Colorado school district is implementing the alphabet toolkit, and it's forcing students to attend lessons on related topics, even if the parents disapprove. It was created by the Denver School District, updated in July. It prohibits students from opting out of these lessons and curriculum. Doesn't matter if you have different beliefs, you're going to be forced into it. And it's about sex. It's lessons on sex. It's about how same-sex people have it. That's what they're talking about. They're forcing your kids to sit through pornography. And I don't get it. Why are they so obsessed with this? This isn't educational.
No.
Not educational at all. They're like, oh, we'll make sure it's age-appropriate. Really? You're the people who put genderqueer in elementary school libraries. People don't believe me when I say this. They honestly, actual moderate Republicans didn't even believe it. It started in Texas when a parent first discovered that book. That's crazy. A 12-year-old's or 13-year-old's library. And elementary can access it. And it literally was a graphic novel that showed. Well, I can't even say on air what it showed because I would probably get in trouble, Kane, right?
True.
We can't even show the images because if I showed these images on Facebook. Actually, when we've tried, they demonetize my videos and they issue a strike against my account. I can't even show it on Facebook, but they can show your underage kids in school. And they consider that to be educational. And it is nothing more than gratuitous graphic sex. That's all it is. There's no literary value to it. There's nothing. I mean, honestly, I think that probably Playboy had better articles. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no value to it at all whatsoever. This is just, you're forcing this in kids' faces so that they're just shell-shocked by it. And you can't, that's all it is. They're forcing them to acclimate to it, regardless of whether or not parents agree. And the Denver School District doesn't require the parental consent either with any of this stuff. They're like, oh, it's our commitment to equity and inclusion. Look, I don't want any kind of sexual material like that taught to underage kids in the classroom, because they're not it's not a biological, they're not approaching it from a biological standpoint, like this is where how children are created, or this is how, which that at least serves a purpose. They're like, this is how this stuff happens. This is how, you know, men's bodies work and how women's bodies work. No, they disregard science, and it's all about fetish. It is nothing more than an educational, or not, it's fetish education. That's all it is. It is. And I kind of wonder if the people pushing this on kids, are you getting off on this? No, that's not too forward to ask when you're talking about introducing books that show pegging in the classroom. Don't Google that. No. People did not believe how bad the photos were or how bad the illustrations were. And that's just one book. There are others. And then there's, you know, like the written word that get really graphic with stuff. And that, again, that has nothing to do with education. Why is this like the hill that these people want to fight on? I mean, I've got suspicions, but good night. But now that everybody's going back to school, this is all up again. UPenn is hosting gender equity orientation for freshmen. Can you say freshmen? Can you say freshmen anymore?
Fresh person.
Fresh persons. From Campus Reform. This piece is orientation focusing on providing a safe space for first-year students of marginalized genders, you mean make-believe, and their allies to share their experiences and continue to grow. So it's gender equity. It's a freshman pre-orientation program. I don't see how this is about, this isn't about creating safe spaces. This is, again, about shoving it in your face. It's bringing fetish out. That's all it is. Historically marginalized genders. Here's the thing with all of this, the language and the approach to this. No one cared until you tried to penalize people for pronoun usage. No one cared until you started demanding that their underage children be exposed to you lecturing them about how you'd like to get off. Nobody cared until you made it an issue. It wasn't about living your life. It was about making them be participants in it. That's when it became an issue. People started marginalizing themselves by acting like a marginalized subset of society that is obsessed with talking to kids about their fetishes. That's when it became an issue. Trying to get people fired because they wanted to say things like women are real, stop acting like we're not real. Trying to get people fired for that is when it became an issue. It wasn't an issue until then. So people who subscribe to this wanted to pick a fight with everyone else. And then when everyone else started objecting, then they wanted to act like they were marginalized. It doesn't go both ways. You're the bullies. You're the jackasses. It's you. It's not us. We got more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up. Florida Man's going to make us normal again. Heaven help us all.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, just like Kane says, old people aren't innocent.
That's what he says.
An elderly Florida man pulled a knife on a manager at Swank, New Jersey Eatery. Oh, Swank. 75-year-old man from Florida was arrested Thursday night after allegedly pulling a knife on another restaurant patron and assaulting the manager at the Red Horse in Rumson, according to authorities. The resident of Palm Beach Shores, David Gully, faces multiple charges, including aggravated assault, possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, terroristic threats, disorderly conduct, simple assault. That's according to the Rumson police lieutenant. It was the Red Horse restaurant. And there's a celebrity chef that owns it, I guess. And the general manager had asked, is there a knife? There's like video of it. There's a lot of fun words in there that that Juan can't hear because he's innocent. And they literally watched the guys. Police showed up. The gully guy, like, punching the restaurant manager with a knife in his hand. He was taken into custody without further incident. They're still investigating. Do you know why? You know, it's real simple. He had a knife and he hit someone. There you go. Case closed. Wow. We've solved it. A man turns himself in after he... It's an oldie but a goodie. I miss this. A man turns himself in after murdering his imaginary friend. Jeff Gaylord from Florida turned himself into police and demanded they give him the death penalty after he admitted to... I'm not making this up. After he admitted to murdering his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy. He told officers he had stabbed Mr. Happy to death with a knife, cut up Mr. Happy's body with a hatchet, and buried him in the backyard. Jacksonville officers took a drunk Gaylord into custody and got a search warrant for his house. Gaylord said that he had killed Mr. Happy because he was messy. And then he told officers, his room was a mess all the time with his toys and his dolls. And then he left his empty vodka bottles all over the kitchen. And he never picked up his empty cocaine baggies. And it was Mr. Happy who left the toilet seat down when he peed. He messed up my apartment to the point where I just couldn't get it clean. You know what it kind of sounds like? It sounds like he was going to get busted for drugs anyway and decided to make up a story. I'm beginning to think that it wasn't Mr. Happy's cocaine and empty vodka bottles, but in fact, Mr. Gaylord's cocaine baggies and empty vodka bottles. Oh, they also found a machine gun at his house.
That's Mr. Happy.
No, I think that one was his. He's like, yeah, it's probably mine because, you know, I'm... Oh, boy. That's probably one of my favorite ones. This woman looks crazy. Is she in a vest? Oh, she is.
She was naked, so, yeah.
Oh. Okay, so... Oh, no. It's never anybody that you would want to see. 56-year-old Grace Sharp got arrested for walking around outside naked during her neighbor's birthday party, according to an arrest report. The incident happened Sunday along Fowler Avenue in Pensacola as her neighbor was having a birthday party, according to the report. The report stated that the neighbor told deputies around 7 p.m. Ms. Sharp, pictured in the simulcast, walked up naked to the chain link fence that separates the properties, and she was reportedly waving around plastic doll legs. And then she rubbed the plastic doll legs on her private lady area. And then the neighbor made the kids go inside. According to the report, when the neighbor told Sharp that she was naked, Sharp said, I know it's hot outside, quote, end quote. She eventually went back inside her home when deputies were called. Sharp remains in Escambia County Jail on $2,500 bond. Any questions about that one? I do have one.
She knows who Nelly is?
The plastic doll legs, like Barbie sized? What is that? Like, where does one... I mean, what size? I gotta know.
That does make me hopeful. Actually, with this Swift effect, we'll speak to more women about the true character of Donald Trump and will turn them away. But to your initial point, I know you said we weren't going to talk about it, but I was. It just seems to me that since she is in an interracial marriage... she should have known that to support a racist is problematic. Her children are biracial, and her family is one of the families in the 70s could not have lived in any of Donald Trump's buildings. So it just seems to me that maybe she's just not that politically savvy, or maybe she's just not read in.
Granted,
but
all we know is that she liked a Trump post. We don't know. She hasn't stated that she supported him, but that's fair to interpret.
Oh my gosh. Nepo baby is all. Well, granted, what a horrible, ignorant thing to say. That's Sonny Hostin, by the way, who was going off on Brittany Mahomes for liking a couple of posts from Donald Trump. Was it on Instagram? Who does that too, by the way? Who sits there and combs through someone's likes to try to cause controversy? You know, it's not an endorsement. People are so stupid. But for Sonny Hostin, what a bitch. What an ignorant, racist, bigoted person to say something like that. How dare you? To sit here and castigate her and then call into question her commitment to her marriage and her role as a mother, and to drag in her children because she liked some posts from someone you dislike politically. What is your mental damage, woman? You know, it's people like Sonny Hostin. Their ideology is a cancer on this earth. It is the AIDS of the earth. I am so tired of this. Who are you to sit here and go, well, you know, she's in an interracial marriage and she should have known better. What gatekeeper are you? That's a bitchy thing to say. And you know I'm right. That's horrible. I mean, can you imagine casting that kind of aspersion on someone's character because they liked a post from someone? Because she liked a post. So that gives you the right to call into her question her marriage, her job as a mother, everything else. What is wrong with you people? I'm so tired of this stuff. I get that people are so politically tribal that they feel like this sort of hatred is justified. And if that's what they have to tell themselves to help themselves sleep better at night, I don't know. It's a shame. That's a shame. I'm not wrong, Kane. Nope. Kane almost had a stroke. That's okay. But I'm not wrong. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. That made me mad because the Mahomes seem like nice people. Yeah. And they don't seem like they try to be. I don't know what their politics are. Are you a nice person? Yes or no?
And the fact that we don't know what their politics are is a great indicator.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Are you a nice person? Are you decent? Are you a nice person? Why should that be the answer to that be predicated upon? Okay, well, wait a minute. But did you like Trump's post? Who uses that as a litmus test? And then you got Nepo Baby sitting over there who's like, well, granted. Granted what? My gosh. This is why people who run media entities shouldn't automatically fast track their kids into positions where they share opinions, because not everybody is merited. Not every situation not merits that the opinion of that person. My heavens. It's shame on these people. That really made me mad because everything I've ever seen of the Mahomes, he seems real nice. She seems real nice. Their kids seem happy. You know, Taylor Swift goes to the shows and they hang out. But this is because they're mad that she's friends with Taylor Swift. And they feel like they have to police who Taylor Swift hangs out with. We talked about this because the left was saying, well, Taylor Swift needs to stop being friends with Brittany Mahomes because Brittany Mahomes likes some Trump posts. This is what, week two of this? Week two of these people losing their minds over this. Because Brittany Mahomes liked someone's post. Y'all going to be getting her husband saying some stuff. Good heavens. But they're policing Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift is influential and they are so desperate to influence people that they feel like they don't want it to look normal if Taylor Swift, who endorses Kamala Harris, if she's friendly with someone who is a Republican or they think is right. Actually, nobody even knows what Brittany Mahomes is. Everybody's just assuming, you know. I've liked some tweets I've liked some tweets by John Fetterman before. Doesn't mean I endorse or would ever vote for John Fetterman if I lived in Pennsylvania.
There are Democrats that have actually endorsed Trump. So it's not like, you know what I mean? Just because you like something or even say something positive about someone doesn't mean you have, you know, you're endorsing them in any way.
Yeah. It's exactly it. It's not an endorsement. But they don't want it to look normal that Taylor Swift is friends with someone who might have diverse thought. That's what really this comes down to. They don't want that to look normal because they've got to keep everybody divided. They need Democrats to only hang with Democrats. They need their conservatives to stay with conservatives. Heaven forbid that there's any sort of interpolitical mingling. Can't have that. Good heavens. Can't do that. That's bad. That just made me really mad because I can't stand when I see nice people be treated like that. It brings out the Ozark in me a little bit, you know. I'm wearing flip-flops right now. I may take one off. Yeah, I'm in the studio. I'm in my TV mullet today. You guys don't see it. Actually, I'm wearing a hat, so it's, you know, it's casual Friday. But I get upset when I see people who seem real nice treated real poorly like that. Especially by these self-appointed gatekeepers. Like, who made this chick the gatekeeper of all of this? Who did that? Nobody. Good heavens. Someone said that watching grease pigs run around is more entertaining. I mean, I can't believe people watch this show. Who watches that show? Who watches The View? I say this as someone who's guest hosted it a couple times, but that was back when Barbara Walters was still alive and Jenny McCarthy was on. And she was one of the nicest people ever, by the way. She was so nice. And Whoopi Goldberg was not rude. She was nice as well. But I didn't meet, what's her face? The Joy lady, who's not joyful. She wasn't there that day. But my gosh, what happened to like that? What happened to them? Who watches that anymore? I can't think of anything that I would like less than, would you like to watch a television show of a bunch of women speaking? No. No. I would not. Thank you. And no woman really, be honest. Like no women, all of you watching out there, no women that you know would either. Right? Come on. Let's be real about it. Let's be real. We got a couple of other things to touch on as well, because we've been hitting everything from the gun control stuff. We've been hitting a lot of it. We've got the debate coming up October 1st. And also, we've gotten into the North Carolina stuff as well. Speaking of North Carolina, that Sabato's crystal ball over Virginia, they've shifted that North Carolina race. Obviously, it's going towards Democrats. What is it doing to the whole race? It all comes down to electoral votes. And I wrote about it. I'm not going to get that much into it anymore. You can read about it over at Substack. Go and check it out there. That's up for North Carolinians to decide. I wanted to hit on this headline too, because it touches on what we had been saying. Did you see this? It's a poll that came out. RMG Research. It's a Rasmussen poll. 17% say America would have been better off if Trump had been killed. 3 in 10, Democrats. You know, we were just talking about the hyperbolic policing that, you know, with Sonny Hostin with The View. That's amazing to me. 3 in 10 Democrats. So you wonder why all of this stuff tends to only go one way. And good heavens, there's a big answer for you right there. They said 17% of voters, of these are Democrat voters, believe that America would have been better off if the former president had been killed in last week's attempted assassination. That includes 28% of Democrats who say that America would have been better off if he had been assassinated. 24% weren't sure. At least 48% could bring themselves to say that America would not be better off if the opposing party's candidate for president had been assassinated. This is where we're at in polling. This is how this went. So do you think that America would have been better off if the former president had been shot and killed or not? What are your thoughts? That's an actual question. And then do they get points, Kane, for answering honestly or not? I don't know. How do you, well, some, I, 24%, well, we're not sure. We're just not sure if the America would have been better off if he would have been killed. And 48% were like, well, it's actually bad if that would happen. Well, 48%, hallelujah. How in the world did we get here? How in the world did we get here? I mean, it's kind of rhetorical. That's just wild. But that's the new survey that they came out with. And when asked whether or not U.S. government agencies were involved in the latest, 37 said it was very or somewhat likely. Oh, my gosh. So the deep state. 54% suggested that Trump had used overheated language that might encourage some people to act violently. 35% blamed CNN or MSNBC. 33% suggested Harris incited it. So they're blaming the guy who got the attempted assassination attempt was against. They're blaming him for it. Okay. Now, they said that it was... Now, I will say the question that they focused on, the question that the way that they worded it was, quote, while it is always difficult to wish ill of another human being, would America be better off if Donald Trump had been killed last weekend? 69 did at least say no. Total.
Kane. You and your positive spins.
Well, but the rest are ridiculous.
Yeah, how many?
Well, yeah, there is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I can't honestly believe this headline. Purple apples are going viral on social media and orchards are being inundated with requests. But there's a catch, because they don't exist. They're AI images of stupid purple apples. And people are like, all these horticulturalists and all of these orchards are like, stop asking us about these stupid purple apples. They don't exist. It's not a real thing. They've had all of these like photos on Instagram and TikTok, and like one of them says, oh, look at these, you know, apples, purple applesauce. And they said that the purple apples originated in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan, and they thrive in the chilly climate, and they taste like cinnamon and banana. It's, and literally, here's the name of the account. It's Unnaturalist AI. Okay. Well, everybody's been asking about purple apples now. And so it blew up everywhere, and people literally have been going to just showing up randomly at Saskatchewan orchards going, where's your purple apples? I'm not even kidding. And so now they're like, stop it. They're not real. There isn't a thing like this. There's no such thing as this. It's fake. It's all fake. Oh my God. I can't. The five most rat-infested cities in America have been revealed, and they're all Democrat run. It's just... Yeah, the Big Apple is the most rodent-riddled. It's Terminix's list of 50 most rodent-infested cities. And they're like the ugly rats, not like little cute field mice. Like little field mice. They're the ugly rats. They're the rats, all right? But they said that it's California actually leads the nation for rodent pest control searches. But they said that Los Angeles is third, Philly and D.C. are in the top five. The second was San Francisco, and that's New York is on top. Of course it is. Ooh. This is insane. A man with, this makes me feel like this is me now. I will look at someone's health mallet and I will immediately say I have that. I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. A man, 20 years old, with a constant runny nose, found his brain was poking out and leaking. His brain literally was bulging through a hole in his skull.
Is that what
he's from Syria? Is that why my nose is running? Is my brain poking out of a skull hole? Yeah. He thought it was a cold symptom. It was cerebrospinal fluid. His brain and spinal fluid. He was in a car accident years prior, though, and he had a head injury, and he refused treatment at the time. And then he got some moderate headaches and seizures, but no big deal. And then, okay, so maybe it's not me. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just this guy. Good night. Let's see. Animal remnants were spread across I-635, and they shut down three lanes of traffic in North Texas. Oh, nasty. Gator heads and guts and all kinds of stuff. It was alligator and chicken remnants. TxDOT handled it. Chicken and gator remnants on multiple lanes. Stick with us. We got more in store. Yay!
Big screen. Donald Trump blamed President Biden and Vice President Harris for the latest assassination attempt against him. He claimed without evidence that their rhetoric is causing him to be, quote, shot at. How is the White House responding to those comments?
Well, I love that you added without evidence, because I want to be very clear here. The president and the vice president have always forcefully condemned violence in all forms, including political violence. And we certainly have never...
You remember when they were like promoting the bail fund for the violence? I love they very forcefully... condemn the violence that they try to incite with their words, but they just, you know, they condemn the violence. Such a shame that someone, you know, tried to do this. You can understand why they did, because Trump's so bad. He's like Hitler, you know, just the greatest threat to democracy ever. Didn't even win the election in 2016. He's an illegitimate president. But hey, it's a shame that somebody would react to that. That's what she just said. Welcome back. What is she wearing? What is that? Can I, like, I'm sorry. Okay, all orange. Okay, I'm so sorry to do this, but certain things get me. Juan's got it up. I don't mind monochromatic outfits if it's like black or brown or white or even gray. But this just looks like you're going to walk on with a circus hat and introduce the elephants. Stop it. What is with this outfit? Like clown orange? No. No, we're not. That's not. No. What in the world? And she tries to be colorful with her outfit choices, but that's so much orange. I just feel like if you just, she could just sit on the highway and you would think she's the cone. Stop it. That's not one of the colors that you.
More like a barrel.
Yeah, she's like the, she's the highway cone. This is my serving hot highway cone looks. Riz has so much riz. Slay. I just had a horrible, horrible time. Joke texting Gen Z slang to someone. It was bad. It went horrifically. I can't say what it did, but it, that's how bad it was. Kane can attest.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Gen Z slang. Although, can I just, one quick thing, we're going to get to the meat and potatoes. Do you guys remember Pauly Shore back in the day? Yeah. Particularly Encino Man. Okay, that's Gen X. So I feel like Gen Z thinks that they're, look at us with our weird language. You don't know weird language until you watch Pauly Shore and Encino Man. You don't know weird language until you see the dinner scene when he's telling the dad to stop harshing his mellow. And then he makes that weird weasel sound with his mouth. Stop. You don't even know what weird is. That was the height of it. So you can have Riz and Slay and all this other stuff. But what you don't have is Pauly Shore in Encino Man. Shh. The end. We can't play it because we'll get totally like, can you play it on the radio? Just play some of it on the radio. Can we do that? Because see, with the digital aspect, they're like, no, it's copyright. Yeah, no, we're going to take your video down.
Because what I play goes over to television. So.
I know. We can't do certain things. It's a bummer. It's just the way it is. All right. So a few things that I want to, I got to get this culture stuff out of the way. Because I did promise you. Oh, and I have a whole thing about otters. Angry otters. I don't even know how to work that in. The gender neutral submarine. Can we just touch on that real quick?
What the hell does that mean?
I almost said the most inappropriate joke on air that I would have gotten fired for, and I didn't. So.
But where are the reproductive parts of a submarine?
Stop it. Okay. It's just the frank. The beans don't come with it. Yeah, the beans have been removed. It's just the frank. So, and it's inverted, so it's gender neutral.
Ah,
I don't know. It's the USS New Jersey. It's a fast attack Virginia class submarine, 135 Navy personnel. It's the first U.S. submarine built for both genders. Okay, I'm going to need a moment. It's designed to fully integrate male and female sailors. Is that a problem? Like, I just think, can I be real? I've known women that have gone into the Navy. They don't GAF, okay? They don't need a boat for their for ladies. They don't need a lady boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't care because they're the type of women who just want to go kick ass. That's all they want to do. They don't need no lady boat. That's a distraction. They just, those are the chicks that wanted TCB. Why do you like act, you know how sexist it is to act like, oh, well, there's the women in the Navy. Guess we got to make a lady boat. Got to make a boat for the ladies. Got to put these cup holders in it. You get lighted vanity mirrors, ladies. But for real.
These ladies have testicles or no?
I just feel like they don't care. I mean, I don't want to speak for women in the Navy, but, you know, I feel like they just... The women that I have known that have been in the Navy, they don't care about this stuff. And none of them do. They don't care.
Yeah, of those women, I'm not questioning them. I'm questioning.
Oh, you mean like I'm these types of women?
Yes,
call me ma'am. Those types.
I'm questioning if this idea was born of ladies with testicles being offended that they're not being called ladies.
You mean men?
Yes.
So they said that. The Navy, when it lifted its ban on women in submarines in 2010, concerned about living quarters being too tight and lack of privacy, prompted the Navy to retrofit subs and designate washrooms. The USS New Jersey was designed for two genders from the outset with the accommodations like increased privacy in the washrooms and sleeping areas. I just feel like if you're going to go into that, you kind of got to know that this is part of the territory, right? Access to top bunks and overhead valves are also designed with height, reach, and strength of women in mind. Oh, so we're making things easier to open for the women? Yes, this jarhead to this nuclear sub, to this nuke right here, is going to be easier for you to access, you dumb, weak women. Means it could fall out. I don't know. Have you, when we went on a tour of some of the submarines in Hawaii, we were at Pearl Harbor, there was literally one bunk over where the warhead was. There's a dude who slept atop of a nuclear warhead back in the day. Just saying, they're built different. I don't know. The nuclear-powered submarine was officially nicknamed Jersey Girl. Its interior spaces are decorated with posters and memorabilia representing the state, including a guitar signed by John Bon Jovi. Well, if you hate Bon Jovi, you're in hell. You can't get away. You're going to be in the Bon... We're here. I'm in the Bon Jovi ship. Going down in a blaze of glory. No. It's 377 feet long, 34-foot beam. But does it have lighted vanity mirrors, though? Why do they need to do this?
I still don't understand how it's different. Like, how would it be so different that now women and men could be on there?
It's like that a man. It's a boat for a man and a woman. Oh my gosh! I don't know, guys.
Are the washing machines bigger?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But they, yeah, that's, is that a big deal? I don't think it is. I just don't know why they got to do this. Going to retrofit this for, we'll just get it. You don't need to do any of that. For women, isn't it already pretty tight quarters in there? Do you really need to lower anything or make anything more, like adjust anything for its height for women? Because it's pretty cramped in there. And the subs that I've been in. To tour. I mean, I don't know. These were olden day subs. I don't know if they're, are they like bigger now? I don't know, but
I've never
just,
fit in any sub I've ever taken.
I got a little claustrophobic. I got to tell you, going through them, I was just like, it's a little tough. Okay. I got another one though. So that's the lady ship. We all live on a lady submarine, a lady submarine, a lady submarine. Northwestern University's banned fat jokes. I think it was probably a fat person that did it. They said that making weight-related jokes counts as harassing conduct that may create a hostile environment. You'd think Northwestern administrators would focus on weightier issues, said a commentator. So Northwestern University in Illinois, via campus reform, has a policy to discipline community members who make weight-related jokes. The restrictive provisions fall under the university's policy on discrimination, harassment, and sexual misconduct, per the Daily Caller. The policy? Well, you could land in some super hot water if you make a fat joke, according to the policy. Quote, Northwestern prohibits discrimination and harassment on the basis of race, color, religion, creed, national origin, ethnicity, case, sex, pregnancy, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, parental status, marital status, age, disability, citizenship status, veteran status, genetic information, reproductive health decision-making, height, weight, or any other classification protected by law, per the policy. It's a lot.
I fell asleep towards the middle there. What are we talking about?
I forgot the last things they said. They said that displays of electronic transmission of derogatory, demeaning, or hostile materials related to one or more of the actual or perceived what if you identify as fat and you're thin and then you want to be offended? Are you protected? You identify. Who are you to argue? You know, they're weight fluid. Who are you to argue whether or not somebody identifies as such? The disciplinary measures could range from verbal or expulsion. Professors could lose their tenure. Ooh. Ooh. Campus Reform reported that there was a course at another university called the F Word, examining the science, culture, and politics of fatness. So they don't like the word fat. So you can't make fat jokes. You can't make any jokes. You can't, none of it. Oh my gosh. These are rules for kindergartners, not for adults.
But it feels like we've been through this before.
Yeah.
Is this another wave of it?
Yeah.
Because back then, I just thought, just call them Gigi's, which is greater gravity.
Oh, yes, they are. That way it doesn't. You know what? They're it's unfair. They have an oversized command of gravity. That's actually unfair.
It's a positive spin, and you're not saying fatty or anything like that. It's just greater gravity. They're just GGs.
Gravity hijackers. What to do when your neighbor commands more gravity than you? I am gravity deprived. They're doing these classes. Like, they have a class in New Mexico at their University of New Mexico in Albuquerque where they don't call it that, but it's basically literally a fat studies class, and students are required to put together a plus sized outfit for some reason and consider anti-fatness as another form of oppression. I don't even know what anti-fatness means. There's like a whole thing.
A whole industry that's on anti-fatness.
Fat liberationist movements. Is that a thing?
That's how they justify giving you like these hydrogenated oils instead of
butter.
You know
what? I thought that was just like the ice cream truck. The fat liberationist movement.
I have an idea.
I do too. They here's one of the assignments that they have. This is one of the assignments that they have at the fat class in the New Mexico thing. Quote, for this assignment, you will be online shopping. You will put, this is so lazy. You need the exercise. Go out to the mall. You will put together two outfits for the same occasion of your choosing. One will be a straight sized outfit and the other will be a plus sized outfit. Then you're going to reflect on the experiences of shopping for straight size clothing versus shopping for plus size. Well, my first initial thought was that one, the underwear comes on hangers and the other doesn't. The second thing was, why? Who cares? Why is this a thing? Are you supposed to feel bad over like other people's choices, or why is this a class? How does this benefit society? How does this make the economy stronger? How does this make us more energy independent? How does it help our supply chain issues where it contains the ingredients for antibiotics? How does this help us build more refineries? How does this help contribute to greater stabilization with regard to foreign policy? How does it do any of that? How does it help make us more energy independent? Oh, it doesn't. This is like the stuff that crumbling societies teach. This is stuff that you find in rotting, decayed empires. This is how empires die.
We had so much fun. But what was really incredible is in every single restaurant of the people willing to talk to us, we could only find one Harris supporter in every restaurant. And we left no stone unturned. I approached every single person.
I'm surprised they found even one. Who's that person? I don't even. It was probably Kamala Harris, like dressed up as someone else. No, my name is Shmamala.
Imagine if they pulled people who can't actually afford to go to restaurants. Imagine if they did that.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to what restaurants they went to. Yeah. I mean, you don't know. I'm just telling you. You don't know. So, they couldn't find it. Like I said, I'm surprised that they found one. That they found just one. That's it. Goodness. Now, we've been following a number of things here. Got the VP debate going to be up on October 1st. We get to gear up for that. Oh, boy. No, I'm not doing a drinking game with it. And I don't. Stop asking me this stuff because you guys are so unhealthy.
It's life-threatening.
Yeah. Stop being unhealthy. I'm going to get you guys some green juice or something. All right. Today's stupidity, Kane. What do we got?
All right. It's Joyless Reed on MSDNC. She is talking here. Well, actually, she's just straight up lying. So I think it's more intentional than stupid, but it just comes off as stupid here. Listen to this.
All of this as Trump faces his second brush with death via a gunman shooting at him in Palm Beach, Florida, just as happened in Pennsylvania, neither of whom were Haitian or any kind of immigrant, both of whom are white, American, Trump-supporting men.
What?
Neither of them were Trump-supporting.
Neither of them supported
leftist,
him.
Leftist, mentally ill human beings.
I mean, they supported Democrats. One guy had a Harris Biden sticker on his truck. So, you know, I don't know. That does it for us today, folks. Make sure you go find us over at Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Also at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.